Good afternoon and welcome to the KXCV KR&W Bearcat Coaches Show. We're broadcasting live from Pizza Ranch in Maryville. And along with Matt Trenton, I'm John Coffer. Got a lot to talk about again this week on the Coaches Show. Again, basketball. We're going into the postseason tournament for the Northwest Missouri State Women. A good weekend for Bearcat baseball. Softball getting going with a pretty good weekend as well. And, of course, indoor track and field had an excellent weekend over at the Hughes Fieldhouse.
Yeah, Northwest Missouri State, both the men's and the women's squads finishing second in the MIAA championships, both garnering well over 100 points. And that's with really only getting 1 point out of field events altogether. So a lot of what the Bearcats did was on the track. We'll see a lot more out of the field events and the jumping coming up a little bit later on as we get into the outdoor season. But the thing about what these runners did to basically carry the load to get Northwest to this point, a lot of great individual performances. We'll hear from a couple MIAA champs in Marie Day and Riley Witt coming up in just a little bit, but some really good performances, and now kind of sets themselves up 2 weeks from this, or I guess 1 week from this upcoming weekend, on to Indianapolis for the indoor national championships. And we've seen the Bearcats come away with some national champs in recent years, and you feel like there's a pretty good opportunity to do that once again. You think about how good the DMR has been and the 4x400 meter relay, as well as some individual events, so it's going to be fun to watch.
For baseball, they took out three over the weekend in their home opening series with Concordia St. Paul on Saturday. Walk-off win 14-4 with a 10-run rule in the eighth inning. And, again, that was a good weekend for them. The bats came to life, and really pitching for the most part was good. They lost that middle game 10-8. But just overall, I think a lot of good things came out that weekend for the Bearcat baseball team.
Yeah, it did. And, excuse me. You think about how that started off, you know, game one, Ashton Newman, the big three-run home run that kind of broke things open, got them going. They win at 6-3. You put up 8 runs and a loss on Friday. And then you come back around, as you mentioned, putting up 14 on Saturday. So you do feel good about the direction the bats are heading. And, you know, pitching-wise, it's one of those things you kind of hope to come around a little bit more. It was a nice weekend, but it's still not just that perfect weather. There's times it gets a little bit chilly out there, and so you kind of think about as the pitchers go and maybe able to grip a little bit more and maybe kind of develop some of those pitches a little bit more outside, since so much of what they've done has been in the Hughes Fieldhouse. You feel like that's going to get better and better too, but they've got a tough weekend coming up. Washburn's coming to town for a 3-game set, so we'll see how that pans out, but it does feel like they've got some things heading the right direction.
And again, softball, they were competing this past weekend down in Shawnee, Kansas.
Yeah, the Bearcats coming away 2-2 from that. They are 10-9 so far on the season. They're getting set to open up conference play this weekend. They're originally scheduled to play Nebraska Kearney due to some weather. We'll see if that actually pans out. Also, a home doubleheader on Sunday against Augustana. But you feel good about the way their pitching is trending. You look at this over the last 10 games they played, they've only given up more than 3 runs twice. So the ERA overall as the team's coming down, they've got some good things going. We'll hear from one of the players that kind of guides that staff, Gage Pinkerton, a senior catcher for the Bearcats, coming up here in a little bit, but a lot of things heading in the right direction.
And for the women's basketball team, their season continues on as they go to Kansas City tomorrow night. They open up play against Missouri Southern tomorrow at 6 o'clock down at Municipal Auditorium in Kansas City. So the big key, they're going into, I think, the postseason tournament on a nice little run as well, playing some good basketball.
Yeah, the Bearcats have won 5 of their last 7 overall. And, of course, taking on Missouri Southern, who they've already beat this season, 62-54 at home. It's been kind of a weird year in the MIAA. And Coach Meyer wants to take it game by game. Of course, we can kind of branch out and look at it a little bit deeper. But, man, it feels like the road to Sunday sets up pretty well for the way this team's played. You beat Southern already. They had an 18-point lead at home against Pitt State, number one team in the conference, but it's not a terrible second-round matchup for the Bearcats. Then it's either Kearney or Washburn in the semis, then on to the championship. Like, there's a way you kind of look at that and think this could set up pretty well for Northwest. Obviously, you have to execute, but the way they played on Saturday against Emporia, if you carry that into this week, it's a pretty dangerous team.
Been playing some good defense, but the thing I think is encouraging, especially you look at Saturday overall, just the offensive numbers that they put up.
Boy, it was really hard to get one player to break into double figures because the scoring was so well balanced across the board. And we're getting a lot more from Brooklyn Stanley, a true freshman out there, as well as Sadie Moss. And we'll hear from Kaylee Kess, the team's leading scorer, coming up a little bit. A second-team All-MIAA selection, as announced a little bit earlier today. So a lot of things trending in the right direction for the Bearcats.
Unfortunately for the men, their season has come to a close but under the first-year head coach Matt Keeley. But I think some good things came out of this past season despite the wins and losses. And now it's time to hit the recruiting trail.
Yeah, got to hit it hard. Heck, even through the season, there'd be times they'd be on the road. They have to break off and hit some, hit up a couple high school games before coming back around. So they've been working hard for the future while also trying to finish off this season strong. So some bumps on the road, but a chance to continue to build and get things right for the 2025-26 season.
And for tennis, they did a lot of traveling this weekend down to Springfield for a couple matches and then over to St. Louis to face Upsal. We'll talk about those with Mark Rosewell and a couple of players off of his squad coming up a little bit later during the show as well. Again, we're broadcasting live from Pizza Ranch in Maryville on the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. Back with more right after this.
Bank, providing banking services to Northwest students and the community. U.S. Bank is a proud supporter of Bearcat Athletics and Northwest Missouri State University. More on their products, services, and locations at usbank.com.
Support for KXCV KRNW is provided by the Northwest Foundation, providing support for the Northwest Alumni Association and the university's funding needs since 1971. More information is available on Facebook or online at nwmissouri.edu/alumni.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by local internet provider United Fiber, providing a variety of fiber-fast internet plans for residents and businesses with speeds up to 1 gig. More information is available online at unitedfiber.com.
Support for KXCV KRNW is provided by the Monks of Conception Abbey, praising God and serving the Northwest community since 1873 through ministries within the Abbey Guest Center, Conception Seminary College, and Altar and Home. More at conceptionabbey.org.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from Pizza Ranch at US 71 and 1st Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in store or at pizzaranch.com.
Welcome back into the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show as we are talking Northwest Missouri State indoor track and field, wrapping up the MIAA championships over the weekend. We've got head coach Brandon Masters with us, as well as junior Riley Witt from the men's team and freshman Marie Day from the women's team. Appreciate you guys coming on and talking with us. And coach, let's just dive right in, talking about the teams as a whole, both coming out with second place finishes in the MIAA championships, both scoring well over 100 points as a team. Just a lot of good coming out of this weekend overall.
Yeah, it was great watching the kids compete, and certainly it helps when they're at our home track and we know the venue. You know, scoring over 100 is a big deal, and it used to be a race to 120 to win this thing. That's not now the case with Pitt. They're a little bit off and running, and you know, I built this team to be a kind of a four team race type of programming, and we can't do all the events, and so when all the other teams falling off and we're just doing our things, it's really tough to win a duel with Pitt. But the kids were awesome. We actually got the opportunity to deload a little bit. I think we could have scored 140 on each side, but still only second place. So, yeah, great weekend for the Cats, and it was neat to see the finishes second on both squads and to do. We got a lot of national championship entries in as well, and so we competed at a high level also.
And the national championship berths, are those officially announced later today? Is that correct?
That's correct. The descending order list is out now, and we know who has entered in their kids across the country, and we know about who's going to get in, but we get to release that formally here in a couple of hours.
Well, it's good to know as Northwest wrapping up the MIAA Indoor Championships and a couple weeks off to the NCAA National Championships there in mid-March out in Indianapolis. And we mentioned we've got Riley and Marie with us. 800 champs in the MIAAs. That is not easy to do. And you think about the 800 and the 400 and what the dominance Northwest Missouri State has had essentially at those distances overall. But for these two to come out and do what they've done, that's one of the harder races overall, the 800. Is that just good kids that embrace the suck?
Yeah, honestly, that's the truth. That's the truth with that. The 400, 600, 800 mile are what our program is really built upon, because that's the relays, the 4x4 and the DMR. We really focus on those relays and all those events those kids do. And you're right. Those are the hardest events in track and field. 400 hurdles might be the toughest one. I'm not going to lie, Riley. Sorry, bud. But that's outdoors. But indoors, that's who we are. And you're right. Those are those are very, very difficult races. We have tough kids that get it. We have coaching staff between Coach Wick and I that we handle all of those events. And, you know, Coach and I coach the 800 a little bit different. You know, Marie is with me and more of a sprint-based, 400-based, and Riley's with Coach Wick and more mile-based, strength-based programming. But, yeah, that's who we are, and we scored a lot of points in those events.
Riley, for you, we've talked throughout cross country and now into the track and field season about you being healthy and the numbers you're putting up and how good you've looked so far. How special is that to come in and win the 800 over the weekend?
Yeah, it was a little nerve-wracking going into the 800 because I haven't really raced it much at all this year. Raced it once before that, and that was after a double, so I haven't ever raced a fresh 800. So it was interesting going into the prelims. Like, I kind of forgot how to run this. And then going into the finals, and it was like, oh, actually, he remembers how to run it, because, like, I didn't run it based off of just, like, pure skill. It was kind of a tactical, some people were saying tactical genius type of race, where I was coming from literally 30 meters back all the way in the back of the field to just come up and win it in the last couple meters. So it was nerve-wracking, but it kind of gave me some confidence going into nationals, knowing that I can race a tactical race.
Whenever you're 30 meters back and you mention climbing like that, like, the whole time are you kind of like, I've got more left in the tank, I'm okay right here?
Yeah, I have a good intuition of knowing when my red line is, just from going over that red line too many times, especially last year. I've figured that out, where I can kind of feel that tipping point and slowly ramping it up over that last 400, 500 meters to try and, you know, sneak away right at the last minute.
Well, and yourself and Charlie and Max all finishing in the top five, how big is that? Not only to have those guys with you at the MIAAs, but that's kind of one of those things that if I'm running with these guys in practice, then the meet doesn't seem as hard.
Yeah, we had a couple, like, coaches and stuff from other teams come up to Coach Wick before the race and just kind of pimp him and say, like, is Northwest going to sweep the men's 800? Is it going to happen? And I mean, rightfully so, like, we could have made that happen. It just, like, the prelims the day before, Charlie, not many people know, but Charlie was trying to go for a national qualifying mark. So Max did a lot of the work, pushed the pace in the prelims, even though we didn't need to. Ideally, if we wanted to do well in the finals the next day, we would have relaxed a little bit in that prelims. And that was helpful for me because I wasn't in that heat, so I could have kind of just get away with doing my own thing. But Charlie missed out on that mark and then was a little gassed for the prelims. Same with Max a little bit as well. So, yes, it would have been nice to see a Northwest sweep, but sometimes that's not exactly always the goal, and we have to look more long-term.
Well, and Coach, you think about the strategy with everything going into that too, and these guys, it's probably a little bit easier to kind of, all right, this is what we want to do, and trust them to go out and execute too.
Right, and you know, a testament to how strong the men's team is, we knew we had second place if we entered correctly. Washburn's a great team, but they're not quite ready to battle with us yet. And we had those opportunities to not load people up. And we talked about a couple of guys rolling for in the prelims to try to get a national mark with Charlie and Max leading that charge. That hurts us in the finals, right? And knowing full well that we needed to send it, we had an opportunity, but we also had the wiggle room on the scoring sheet to know that we still could beat Washburn if we did our job in other events. And so sometimes you got to go for it. You know, on the flip side, we got Marie here, who unbelievably the 800 women's race deloaded a ton, and part of that was from us, right? I mean, we had Lydia and Bailey and Alina, and you know, all this came out of the 800 event because we were going for a national mark in the distance medley. So Marie got to capitalize on the slowest MIAA prelims I've ever seen. And I told Marie before she went, I was like, the slower you go today, the faster you can go tomorrow. You have to beat one girl. Nine girls entered. It was crazy. So we had to beat one girl to get Marie into the finals, and Bree as well. You know, Bree was entered in. We didn't anticipate Bree even doing it, but when we pulled out, you know, it left an opportunity for Bree. And so all they had to do was beat one girl. And she made me a little nervous, but she ended up running, I don't even remember, 220 or something like
that.
222. That's walking pace for her. And she made me a little nervous there at the end. I had a little anxiety because she had these girls come up behind her and say, Coach, I got it. It's fine. We're good.
Did enough?
Yeah.
Well, so in the prelims, you were the 222. Well, the Washburn girl that won your heat was, I saw, 3 seconds ahead of you. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what you have to do to get in, but at the end of the day, is it also kind of like, is there some gamesmanship in there? Well, give her some cushion. She's going to feel good about herself. I'm going to come up and I'm going to get her tomorrow. Is there any of that mindset that goes in it too?
Yeah, I was like, just let them go ahead. Some girls went out kind of fast in my heat, the pit girl, but I was like, just let her go. I don't want to go out too fast, used up too much energy, so I just saved it for the end and just finished it.
Yeah, tap the gas right at the end there. You know, the second, she's in the first heat too, so it was a little stressful for me because I had to wait for that second heat, and then it was no stress at all. Some girl ran like 228 or something, and so it was really easy. She could just barely walk and got there. So, but we made it through, and you know, in the final was a different story. You know, we had a different plan, and it was awesome to see that execution.
You go out in the finals, you run your 800 and 208. You're an MIAA champion. You have a new personal best. That's a Hughes Fieldhouse record, too. Like, how special is that, your freshman year coming in, of being able to set out and checkmark a lot of boxes already?
Yeah, it's really special. I wouldn't have thought I would be able to do any of this, but just the coaching. I've trusted the process, and it ultimately got me here, so I'm really thankful for that.
At what point this year did you kind of like, I think Marie's going to be special. Like, we've got something pretty good here.
Fall. Week two. I mean, honestly, our 200 test. I think that was week two, right?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, yeah, she's strong. But the nice thing about it is throughout the fall, I also noticed that Marie is fast. So it was, you know, two of the things that we look for. Put a lot of pressure on myself to make sure that she was in a place to be able to compete at a high level. And, you know, Maria struggled a little bit with racing by herself in hitting those times. She's great in the mix racing with other girls, but it's a little harder when you're by yourself, you know. And so I was a little worried about the final because I knew the Washburn girl had already had a better mark than Marie at Nationals, and we felt like that mark was going to get in. She was just going to sit on Marie, just going to sit on her. So it was really tough, and I think there was some anxiety going into the race, being able to hit those times appropriately. That first 200 is important. You know, hitting that 400 split perfectly, and, yeah, it was just execution. It was flawless. I'm like, oh, my gosh, she hit the 200 for the first time where we needed to be, and she just kept on that rhythm and smooth. And you know, the Washburn girl came up beside her, and Marie said, not today. And she just took off. It was amazing.
Put her away. You think about all the great runners that we have at Northwest Missouri State, men's and women's teams, but seniors on down to freshmen. Is there more anxiety going in knowing that you've got other MIAA champions you're training with? Or once you step foot out there, is it kind of you're at ease because you kind of understand that people see that paw and they kind of think a little bit different of what the Bearcats bring?
Yeah, it's nice to have all my teammates there to push me, and I don't really get too anxious about it. I just think of it as like just going out there doing my best and just seeing what happens.
Well, the Bearcats off to the NCAA National Championship meet. That's coming up March 13th through the 15th in Indianapolis. And Coach, a nice trip on the way to kind of wrap up what's been a pretty special season.
Yeah, we got a big group coming. You know, rankings came out today, and the men have been, you know, 6th, 7th all year long at the national ranking, and just talked to Riley about that. We have enough guys going that we believe will get in. Obviously, the final number will come out this afternoon, but we have a nice group going in a lot of events, so we can score a lot of points there, and it's going to be really nice. We've never been quite this much depth and diversity, and it's very excited to see all the events that we are going to be competing in. It'll be a busy couple of days for us coaches because we're going in almost every event, you know, on the track, not in the field. But and then the ladies, you know, they slipped into the top 20 this week, so that's really exciting to see, you know. And we know we have a nice group of girls going. We got a couple of surprises, which is really exciting. I believe that we're going to have you know, more in than we initially figured. So we're really excited about this trip, and we know we have a great group going, and it's going to be a fun trip.
A terrific winter for Bearcat Indoor Track and Field. Not done just yet. Again, as Coach mentioned, the announcement of everybody, they'll be heading off to the national meet coming up a little bit later on today. That'll be on BearcatSports.com. We'll have that later for you on our evening sportscast coming up as well. But Coach Riley Marie, thanks so much for the time, and we'll talk to you again soon.
All right, thanks, man.
Thank you.
Northwest Missouri State head coach Brandon Masters with us, as well as junior Riley Witt and freshman Marie Day. We'll take a break and be back with more on the Bearcat Coaches Show.
Support for KXCV, KRNW comes from Losh Optometry. Serving Maryville and the surrounding area, Dr. Ryan Losh and his staff provide patients with eye exams, eyeglasses, including progressive and bifocal lenses, contacts, and sunglasses. More information available at 660-241-5001.
Support for KXCV, KRNW comes from Compass Dental Group, providing full-service dentistry from braces and implants to same-day crowns and more. From Drs. Bruce Twaddle, Brian Viertaler, and Spencer Twaddle, Compass Dental Group proudly supports the Bearcats. For more information, CompassDentalGroup.com.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from the Bearcat Booster Club, impacting every Northwest student athlete by providing a source of funds to improve athletic equipment for teams and programs. Membership information is available at BearcatSports.com.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from the Maryville Forum, serving the region for more than 150 years. The Forum provides local news, sports, and information online daily at MaryvilleForum.com or at 660-562-2424.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from Pizza Ranch at US 71 and 1st Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in store or at PizzaRanch.com.
Welcome back into the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show, talking Northwest Missouri State softball. We're being joined by Bearcat head coach Naomi Tellez and senior catcher Gage Pinkerton. Appreciate you guys coming in and talking with us. And Coach, Northwest 2-2 over the weekend at the Midwest College Classic. You had to work around the weather to find a way to get games in the last couple weeks, but now you finally do that, getting set for what should be an MIAA opener. It's touch and go, but
maybe weather
it's a
pending.
Battle.
Yep.
It's a team continuing to progress 10-9 right now. Is this about where you wanted to be, where you thought you'd be?
Yeah, I think so. And I think even looking back this season, you know, we talked over the weekend, like, we haven't really pulled out a close game, you know, and literally that was the conversation after Augustana on Sunday. We haven't pulled out a close game. So for us to come back against Maryville that afternoon and pull out a close game was really cool to see. Some big people and really big moments stepped up for us, and it just feels nice to be on the other end of that, because those close games are just heartbreakers.
You know, a week ago, the Washburn Invitational gets shifted around, so instead of being here at the show, you get the win early in the day, I think, against Crookston, then you come back against Rockhurst, and you get a great pitching performance, but unfortunately, they get a late home run. Is it just a matter of finding the timely hitting at this point?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, we talked about, like, we are good enough. We don't have to be any better than what we are. And so in those really big moments, we just need to do what we need to do, not anything more. And staying true to who we are, each of them individually, and not trying to do too much in those moments.
Gage, do you find yourself, as a year goes on, is it a matter of partially being outside and getting in gameplay, but getting more and more comfortable coming off a weekend where you went 8-for-11 at the plate and really effective?
Oh, for sure, yes.
What is it that you're looking for early in a season that can get you into a groove?
I'm just looking to, like, hiccup pitches hard wherever and just pick up my pitchers whenever they're struggling or whatsoever.
Well, and Coach, we talk about the pitching. They've kept things in check the last 10 games, only given up more than 3 runs twice. I think over that span of 3.49 ERA, it feels like things are kind of falling into place there overall for Northwest.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, having six reliable arms is big for us. And I, you know, my mindset as a pitching coach has kind of shifted a little bit. Like, I kind of see our staff as a baseball staff in a sense of, like, we could have a really good closer. We have starters, we have middle relievers in that sense. And, you know, Gage has gutted out a lot of innings for us already, and it's hard to manage six pitchers and six different personalities and what they throw and whatnot. But she's done a great job doing that.
Well, and Gage, year two for you at Northwest. How much was year one getting a feel for who everybody is and what they want in certain situations, and now it is almost second nature?
Oh yeah, first year it was different. All the pitchers were. I had a lefty pitcher I had to work with. The pitches were different. and sometimes I'd set up in the wrong position. And this year, it's just a lot easier. We have some freshmen stepping up big, which is awesome for us, helping out the seniors, taking some weight off their shoulders.
Whenever you're working with a head coach that used to be a catcher, and I'm sure she talks a lot about that, the glory days for Coach Tellez a lot. But how much does that help to be able to go in and kind of, all right, she's doing this. What do I say in this situation? Kind of take some of that knowledge she has and help your game.
Oh, yeah. It helps a lot. And even we'll talk about, like, what the pitcher's doing in the game or, like, what the strike zone is for our hitters up the bat. It helps a lot having a coach as a catcher.
What's harder, managing an umpire or taking care of a pitcher and making sure that they're kind of staying locked in?
They're both kind of hard.
How often will you... I don't want to say make conversate, but, like, say something to an umpire, like, we got to have that blue. Like, is there a back and forth throughout a game?
Oh, yeah. Sometimes we'll just go at it sometimes. But, like, he'll say, I'll miss that pitch, and I'm like, okay, we need that one. Or sometimes he'll say that's a little far out, and I'm like, I agree with you, blue. So I try to stay, like, nice and friendly.
Well, and Coach, I know you've had your run-ins with umpires early in the year. We don't have to dive into that right now, but there is kind of that borderline as a catcher. Yeah. Like, there's a lot going on all at once, yep, to kind of keep a game intact.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the biggest thing, too, is, you know, like, fight for pitchers. Work hard for their – and especially, like, the more consistent you are, you know, as a catcher back there and helping them out, it's, you know, usually sometimes we get a couple calls our way, so –
What are the expectations and responsibilities that you do put on a catcher? Like, are you putting a little bit more on them than others?
Yeah, and I think, you know, they command our defense. Not only do you have to manage our pitchers, but you have to command the defense. You have to tell people where they need to go. Now, yes, they should understand where to go, but sometimes we get a little confused out there. But just being able to do that and having a presence out there with the energy and, you know, being vocal is huge.
Gage, what attracts you to that position initially? Or is that something that early on a coach just threw you back there and it stuck?
Oh, yeah. When I was little, we were out of catchers, and the coaches threw me back there. My dad's like, yeah, let's go, and then never went back from there.
It works. You're just getting beat up, yeah, constantly behind the plate now. Well, so far in the season, I mentioned you hit really well over the weekend. You're batting .417 for the season. Coach, what have you seen from Gage year two at Northwest that she's continued to get better?
She just looks really comfortable up there. You know, she doesn't do too much. And we were talking the other day in the office. It's kind of a quiet .417 in the best way possible. She goes up there. She takes her walks when she needs to. She handles pitches in and out of the zone when she needs to. But she just looks really comfortable up at the plate.
And you're out there on the same team as your sister Ryan. How's that dynamic? How does that kind of play in of trying to be yourself but also manage the younger sister?
We're used to that. Club ball, we played together, and then we played at Johnson County together before this, so we're kind of used to it. We just do our own things.
Is that a plan? Like, hey, let's try to stay together as long as we can.
Actually, no, it wasn't. That's just how it worked out.
So, Coach, at what point were you like, maybe the little sister should come play for us, too?
No, absolutely. I mean, when we scrimmaged Johnson County, I mean, and we saw Gage, and then, you know, the next year we did the same thing, and we saw Ryan, we're like, hey, two for one.
Make it work. Yeah. Why not? Talking Northwest Missouri State softball with head coach Naomi Tellez and senior catcher Gage Pinkerton. The Bearcats supposed to play Nebraska Kearney Friday. They'll be hosting Augustana coming up on Sunday. The weather should be great for the Bearcats taking on Augie this weekend. But, Coach, can you give us a status update for your MIAA opener?
I don't think that one's happening on Friday. We for sure are playing Sunday. I do not believe the Friday game will be happening.
Definitely Sunday at home if anybody's going out, yes, to Kearney to watch the game.
Please
probably
don't go.
Don't make
don't
that
go.
Trip just yet. Northwest Missouri State once again at home this Sunday, 2 and 4 o'clock against Augustana. Coach Gage, thanks for the time. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you.
That is Northwest Missouri State head coach Naomi Tellez and Gage Pinkerton with us. We'll take a break. Back with more on KXCV, KRNW.
Support for KXCV KRNW is brought to you by Agriland FS, with 18 fast stop locations in southern Iowa and northwest Missouri, including South Main and Maryville, across from Applebee's. Fast stop is open 24/7. To find the nearest location, agrilandfs.com/faststop.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from Twaddle Realty. Whether it's residential, commercial, or a farm property, broker Brian Twaddle can list it and market it through custom 3D virtual tours, pictures, and more. For information on all listings in the Maryville area, 562-7562 or online at twaddlerealty.com.
Underwriting for this program is provided by Tri-State Ford in Lincoln at 2017 South Main in Maryville. Tri-State offers the area a selection of new Ford and Lincoln automobiles, as well as pre-owned vehicles. More information available at tristatefordlincoln.com. or 660-562-3677.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from the Student Body Screen Printing and Embroidery located on 4th Street in Maryville. The Student Body provides Bearcat fanwear as well as custom screen printing and embroidery for teams, clubs, and businesses throughout Bearcat Nation.
Support for KXCV Care and W comes from Pizza Ranch at US 71 and 1st Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in store or at pizzaranch.com.
All right, everybody, welcome to the Coach's Show, hosted with Matt Trenton and Kaylee Keston of the Bearcat women's basketball team.
CK, doing the intro for us. How about that? You might have a future in radio, you know?
Thank you.
How are things going?
It's great. The year's winding down, just kind of trying to take in the bittersweet moments of the last. So excited for this weekend, excited for, you know, everything that comes with it. So, yeah.
Now, in case folks didn't catch that, we are talking Northwest women's basketball with Kaylee Keston, a graduate student here for the Bearcats out of Denver, Colorado. You're number 5 on campus. Can you believe it's been that long?
Yeah, it might be a little too long. The knees and back are screaming. No, I'm just kidding. But, yeah, it is a long time, but I'm truly blessed with all the experiences I had, and I wouldn't change anything for it. So 5 years too short, I guess.
So, I mean, there's a lot that we could sift through talking about your career and what you've done, but let's just start with today. Second team all MIAA, that being announced. John and I were talking. We don't think there's been a second team all MIAA member at Northwest for maybe 10 years. It's been quite a while. What does that mean to you to get that honor and the way you have really finished off your career regular season? We got more to come this year, but what you've done so far this season.
Yeah, I think it's been a roller coaster for sure. Highs and lows, but that's what makes great players great. I think you're never going to be perfect, or you're never going to be the best without failures. So that's what builds character and what has attributed to my successes here. And I really think, not to be like dramatic, but like at my lowest point here is what really what pushed me to make me great. And so on top of that, that's just putting my faith in Christ and letting him take me these last few years and really giving it all to him and letting him lead me in whatever I'm doing. And then on top of that, just working hard, and my teammates have always had my back these last 5 years. So I'd like to thank them and all they've done for me, even when I'm not confident in myself, that they are confident in me and they continue to tell me to attack, shoot, this, that, and the other. So I really appreciate them. And on top of that, the coaching staff, who's really trusted me with the ball in my hand these last couple of years for sure. And so I just like to thank them for putting their faith in me and helping me be the person that I am, and help the team to be where it is today. So
you are probably one of the best stories to come through Northwest Athletics in quite a while. Think about just how you've come along, and we've talked about this before, but your first 3 years, and you're trying to sift through and find playing time, you scored a total of 316 points. Mm-hmm. Last year alone, you're up to 382. I haven't checked this year, but you're beyond that, averaging 15 points per game. Like, just going numbers and scoring-wise, obviously you kind of blown it out of the water. What point along the way did it just kind of – everything just kind of went and it clicked to where you went from, I don't know if it's playing timid or it's figuring things out, but all of a sudden, like, the CK we see now is what's kind of taken these last two seasons.
Yeah, I think confidence was a huge thing in that, and trusting in myself. And so, like I said, that low point really was what turned me around, and I was like, I can either quit, and I'm not a quitter, so looks like we're going to have to dig in, and there's only up from here. So if I was like, I just really had to dig in and trust in myself and just work hard and really just dig myself out of the hole that I created for myself. It wasn't anybody did that to me. I did that to myself, and I had to own that and take myself out of it. And so that's what I tried to do. And I had the mentality of, oh, give them a reason why they cannot play me, you know, so I can give everything I have. I'm getting every single rebound, every single loose ball, and there should be no reason or doubt that I should have that I didn't leave anything out on the floor, and there should be no doubt that I'm going to give you what I have, and at the end of the day, you're going to have to choose your decision, and that'll be at the end of the day. But I'm not going to sell myself short of my abilities because of my own doubts. And it's, not, again, nothing that anybody did to me, but what I did to myself. So also owning that a little bit and understanding that there's more that I can give. And also I was doing a disservice to my team, and like I wasn't being a true teammate, so I kind of had to come to Jesus moment and had to turn that around and be a better teammate and just be a part of that. And so I think once that turned around a little bit and I did the intangible things, the getting on the floor, the rebounds and stuff like that, because yeah, you can practice shooting the ball, but once it leaves your hands you can't control it. So after that it's just the intangibles of, you know, hustle plays and stuff like that, playing defense. And so also I would say like playing defense is really what kept me on the floor, and then slowly my offense started to evolve. So that's how I've gotten to where I am now. So.
We're talking Bearcat women's basketball with all-conference guard Kaylee Keston. CK, we had senior night over the weekend on Saturday. Special moment, a big class that has really left an impact at Northwest. When you think back through your years of, you know, Mallory McConkie or Peyton Rao, or last year, you know, Emma, Jillian, and Jaina, and the seniors that have come before you, what impact do you want to leave? And you know, obviously wins and losses is great, but, like, you think about Sadie and Brooklyn and Aaliyah and all, a lot of young players right now, like, what are you trying to leave with them to help them grow through their career?
Yeah, in a video before, Peyton Kellerman sort of said it, that leave somewhere better than you came. And so those alumni that are now really did that, and I wanted to leave that same thing. And so when I think back, I want to, like, wow, I want to be like Mallory McConkie, and I want to be just like Jaina, and I want to be this person and that person. And so they've made me better, and I want to continue to do that through the players now, whether even if they stop playing basketball, like, I want to leave that impact on them and leave this place better than I found it. So I hope that's what I've done, but and I hope I can keep these friendships forever and continue to impact them, and they impact me.
You got Missouri Southern Wednesday, and then, of course, a victory. You got Pittsburgh State Thursday, Kearney or Washburn, and whoever on Sunday. You've taken care of Missouri Southern already. You want to get that one, but is there a factor of, like, let's go on a bit of a Bearcat revenge tour right now? There's a lot of teams out there that we owe it to. Let's try to make our way through Sunday.
Yeah, I think throughout the season, it's like a small missing piece there, a small missing piece here. And now's the time to put it all together. And like you said, we've been Missouri Southern before, and it's not something we can't do again. And we've shown that we can, if we play like strong defense and put the ball through hoop, then we're right there with Pitt. And we lost 2 points against them. So that might be a part of our revenge tour. And then Washburn and Kearney are always hard teams, like just head-to-head, and they play with grit. And so if we can match that energy and take it up a notch, then I think we'll see success, especially in those three games. And then in the championship, you know, just leave it all out there. I mean, we have nothing to lose, so why not play like it?
Bearcats meeting up with Missouri Southern tomorrow, first round of the MIAA tournament. Tip-off at 6 o'clock. We'll have pregame right here on KXCV at 5:30. CK, thanks for the time.
Thank you. Thanks, Matt.
Do you want to take us to the break?
I don't know what to say, so you got it.
We'll step aside, back with more here on KXCV KRNW.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from U.S. Bank, providing banking services to Northwest students and the community. U.S. Bank is a proud supporter of Bearcat Athletics and Northwest Missouri State University. More on their products, services, and locations at usbank.com.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from the Student Body Screen Printing and Embroidery, located on 4th Street in Maryville. The Student Body provides Bearcat fanware as well as custom screen printing and embroidery for teams, clubs, and businesses throughout the Bearcat Nation.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from the Bearcat Booster Club, impacting every Northwest student athlete by providing a source of funds to improve athletic equipment for teams and programs. Membership information is available at bearcatsports.com.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from Pizza Ranch at US 71 and 1st Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in store or at pizzaranch.com.
And welcome back to the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show as we are broadcasting live from Pizza Ranch. Time now to talk tennis as the head coach of the Northwest Missouri State tennis team, Mark Rosewell, joins us along with a couple players off his squads on the women's side. Alva Norborg from Stockholm, Sweden, a junior there, and also Dominic Winches from New Zealand. And it's good to have both of you on the show as well. And Mark, talking just before we came on here, yeah, had a little bit of windshield time this weekend, a trip down to Springfield, and then just for the fun of it, head over to St. Louis on Sunday.
Well, actually, John, it wasn't for the fun of it. Basically, what happened was we were supposed to be in Springfield, and we were supposed to play Maryville University, which we did on the guys, but it's the strangest thing I ever saw. They didn't want to play our women's team. Probably they saw that ranking of 20 in the country, and basically they were there, but they wouldn't play us. I mean, this is what, you know, there's no contracts in tennis, and there really wasn't much we could do. So the lady, you know, we've lost a few matches in Oklahoma already, so we scrambled and got another match with Missouri St. Louis. Unfortunately, a good coach over there that wanted to play, so we went over there and had a good matches with him.
Well, it's first talk about the men, a couple of matches, a couple of tough 4-3 losses, but those type of matches can really go either way there.
Yeah, John, and the Maryville match was on Friday was a good win for us. That was a close match. It was 5-2, but it was closer than it sounds. But Drury University, that's Jared Smith's players. Now he's not coaching anymore. He's coaching pickleball down there, but that's his teams, and they're still very good. And I thought that 4-3 on it with both teams on their courts in a hostile environment down there at Cooper, I thought we played pretty well. Now the Missouri St. Louis match, you know, the women won, but the guys, we should have won that match. We were up 3-1, and you know, it happens.
Yeah, you look on the women's side, lost to Drury 4-3, but coming back with Umsel and a 4-2 win there.
Yeah, and they're not bad. You know, we played them last year, and we had a pretty good close match, but, you know, that's a good win.
And overall, at this point in the season, again, very early in the year, but what's the impressions you have of your two squads?
I love my two squads, John. We're starting all over. I think most people know this. We had a lot of seniors last year. We got a lot of new people. But these two that I brought to the show today, I brought for a purpose, okay? And we're building a program around these two, okay? And others, of course, too. But not only are the Alva and Dom are outstanding tennis players, okay? But they're just outstanding people, students, the whole deal. And we're really glad they're here. They're both transfers, and it's working out well here. I mean, you can talk to them about that. But, you know, I'm excited. And it's going to be tough. We're playing a tough tournament this weekend. I mean, it's like a national tournament we're going to be in. It's going to be really the hardest tournament we play this weekend, including our conference tournament. But, you know, as long as we can keep getting better and keep competing, it takes time, but we're heading in the right direction.
And we'll talk to Alva and Dom here now. But first of all, for both of you, again, a few weeks in, a chance to get acclimated to Bearcat tennis and what it all means here. Alva, just your impressions of being a Bearcat now after having a few matches under your belt.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, it's obviously very nice to start season. It's a whole different deal than to just show up at practice day after day. To just see the whole team play by each other and bring the energy, it's a whole different story, and it's very excited. I'm excited to see what the team is going to bring and what we can do together on the courts. You know, we're just trying to figure it out match by match, but it's looking good so far, and we keep the mood up, so it's good.
And Dom, your impressions early on as a Bearcat?
I think it's pretty similar to what Alva said as well, and I think I'm seeing now, I mean, before we had great team support and team spirit, but now that we're actually playing our matches together for each other, I think it's really starting to show how we all handle the pressure and how we all support each other really well, especially, you know, we'll have some players clinching, you know, that'll be the last match on. The team kind of like spirit, I think, for both is really showing and helping some, you know, helping us pull through some of the wins.
And I imagine, too, it's just good to get outside and get some matches in and against some other competition as well. But to get outside of Hughes Fieldhouse and to get out and just finally get a chance to compete has to be something you guys are really appreciative right now, too.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, just getting on the road, you know, we're driving for hours. But at the end of the day, those trips and the matches that we play, that's what brings us close together. So it's really exciting to get
to get the season started, for sure.
Now, last week we had Vinny and Carol on, and they were talking about some of the road trips. Mark wasn't here, so they had a chance to talk, but you're getting a chance to learn a little bit about Mark. And I guess from what I understand, Mark, when you get behind the wheel, you're nonstop until you get to where you're going, right?
More or less, yeah.
Yeah.
But that's a good bonding time, too, I think, for the two teams to travel. And again, you put in a lot of miles, but also a chance to get a chance to know each other pretty well.
Absolutely, yeah.
And, Mark, just from that standpoint of things, a lot of your early matches, primarily just due to the weather, you have to be on the road for us early in the season to just kind of talk about that aspect of things, taking the team on the road early.
John, you know tennis. You ask good questions. The kids always comment on that. We appreciate that. That is true, because we're very far north up here, so most of the time we're heading south. That's where we got to go, and that's a good place to head, particularly this time of year. But what I'm really most happy about is you got to remember, the women's team, we're playing without two players, our number one from last spring and basically our number one player from this fall. And they were, they're very good players, but we don't have them. So it's the rest of them that have been carrying the load. And actually on the guys' team, we have a player, and it wasn't our fault, but he's ineligible until the end of the season. We're going to get him back later in the year, too. So, that's just a tribute to what we're going. These are all new kids playing, and I'm proud of them.
Now, I know that times you go indoors to play some of your matches, but getting outdoors as well, and it's really a different sport, indoors and outdoors. Just talk for both of you, the adjustments and when you have to go from an indoor match to maybe an outdoor match, and some of the things you have to take in consideration there.
Yeah, I mean, I think so far, I mean, at least for what I've found, and I'm sure Alva as well and the rest of the teams, is the wind is, it can be very disruptive. Yeah. But it's a lot different, I think, I think it just changes the pace of the game and the way we have to work things, even in doubles as well. Like, it changes a lot of the strategy. And being outdoors as well, the energy is a little different. Everyone's got to be a bit louder and a little more, just help everyone else a little bit more. It can be a bit harder to focus when you have things like win coming into your matches. But usually I think so far both teams have done very well to handle the different conditions.
Mm-hmm. And the courts play a little bit different outdoors as well.
Absolutely, yeah. It's way slower to play outdoors. So serves, volleys, doubles, you can most definitely finish a volley indoors. But outdoors, the ball might as well come back. So, yeah, it's a difficult game, and it's difficult to go back and forth inside and outdoors. But, yeah, I think we're adjusting well for playing. I don't know, we've played most of the preseason indoors. So now that we're getting out, I think we're, slowly figuring things out. The sun in the eyes when you smash and when you serve, that's another thing. But yeah, it's same goes for both teams. So it's just try to stay positive and adjust to the sun and the wind and everything.
Mark, are there some teams you'd rather play outdoors as opposed to indoors?
Oh, absolutely. Missouri Western for one, they're always wanting to get us indoors up down the club down there, which is a huge advantage. They practice there every day, and yourself, there's some players you can you can beat indoors, and maybe you can't beat them outdoors just on the matches. Now, you can beat me indoors or outdoors. It didn't matter. But, yeah, it does make a difference.
I don't know about you, but I'm finding the older I get, the more I prefer going indoors.
Well, that's true.
Well, let's talk about this weekend coming up, trip down to Wichita Falls, Texas, and Hamilton Park, Texas as well. Midwestern State, I understand, on Friday, Saturday, UT Tyler, and you talked about some tournament play as well. Just kind of talk what you got coming up this week.
Yeah, John, this is, I tell the kids today in our Chalk Talk number two week this week, but this is like a national tournament we're going to play in. I mean, the teams are all ranked. You got to get invited to this thing on tradition of your program and so forth. But every team there is going to be really, really good, men and women. So we're going to find out where we are, and we're going to find out the level of what it takes. But you got to play competition. I learned this a long time from Coach Bird. You play a bunch of chumps that you can beat 7-0, you're not going to get any better.
But even in losses, sometimes you're playing someone, it lifts your level up. And when it lifts your level up and you get confidence, look out. Dom's a prime example. He was at Division I school, and he didn't get a whole lot of attention where he was there last year. And you can see he's having a heck of a year for us. And because they didn't put enough, the coaches didn't put enough time into him and give him a chance, you know. But, boy, once you get that confidence goal, look out.
And for both of you guys here, too, might just talk about, even though it's your first year as Bearcats, but you've had quite a bit of experience on the court. What are some of the things you're trying to do to help out your teammates in that aspect when you get out in the competition here?
Oh, the team spirit is everything. Even if you're way worse tennis-wise, you can still beat a team if you got the team spirit going. Tennis is... For me, growing up, has always been a very individual sport. So coming here to the States, it's really cool to see that you can actually make the sport a team sport. Bringing the team together and just building on that team spirit, it can really lift you to your best potential. And I think that's what's important for us this early on, to just find that we have each other and we support each other. We accept mistakes and everything like that. So, yeah, I think team spirit is one of the most important things.
Well, I imagine probably growing up, you played a lot of junior tournaments where you're kind of on your own island out there going up against opponents, where it's kind of nice to have somebody that's there cheering you on as well, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. It would be me and my mom, but never more than that. Now I got a whole team behind me, so it's definitely lifted me as a tennis player.
And you know, John Alves, she's an excellent doubles player. I mean, she's 5'10" frame. There ain't a volley she can't get. I mean, she can hit overheads or whatever. It's a shame that Laura got hurt and blew her ACL out in the fall, because that was her partner, and they had to forfeit because, you know, they couldn't play. But what's impressed me now is her singles game has really come on. She's had a couple of nice wins, and we've moved her up on the ladder. So that's a good thing.
Thank you, Coach.
All right. Again, we've been talking tennis here on the KUXCV KR&W Bearcat Coaches Show with the head coach of the Northwest men's and women's tennis teams, Mark Roswell, along with the women's player, Alfred Norborg, along with men's player, Dominique Winches. And again, we are broadcasting live from Pizza Ranch. We'll be back. We've got more coming up right after this.
Support for KUXCV KR&W comes from Championship Motors in Maryville. Championship offers late model pre-owned autos and conducts vehicle searches upon request. More at championshipmotorsllc.com. or at 582-8800. Support for KXCV KRNW comes from Maryville Shelter Insurance agent Brad Ford, a proud supporter of the Bearcats. Brad provides coverage for auto, home, life, and business, 24 hours claims assistance, and insurance reviews. More at 562-2911 or in office at 102 North Buchanan. Today's broadcast is underwritten by Millen Dinsdale Seed in Maryville and Oregon. Millen Dinsdale is proud to have former Bearcat offensive lineman Tanner Owen on the team as a crop specialist. To contact Tanner, Aaron, or the rest of the crew, MillenDinsdaleSeed.com. Support for KXCV, KRNW comes from Nottoway Valley Bank. NVB has been serving generations of Northwest Missouri families for more than 150 years. More information on location or online at NVB.com. Member FDIC.
Support for KXCV KR&W comes from Pizza Ranch at US 71 and 1st Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in store or at pizzaranch.com.
And welcome back to the KXCV KR&W Bearcat Coaches Shows. We're broadcasting live from Pizza Ranch. Time now to talk baseball. It's baseball hitting cleanup here today. We're coming in on our show. And Coach Tony Jandrin with us, along with the catcher off the team and Brady Miles. And Coach, coming off 2 out of 3 in your home opener last weekend with Concordia St. Paul. So good to get back at home and also pick up a couple good wins.
Absolutely. Always nice to sleep in your own bed. And played some good baseball, too, over the weekend. So that was really good to see. Starting to turn a corner a little bit, and we just hope to kind of keep this momentum going.
Yeah, it really looked overall that the bats really came to life for you this week.
Yeah, for sure. Challenge guys after the loss. We didn't hit extremely well in that game with only 6 hits, 8 runs, which is pretty nice to do when you're not hitting the ball. And really challenged them to be a little bit more aggressive, and we pounded out 14 hits, 10 walks, 3 hit-by-pitches, and we just did a tremendous job offensively at one of our best performances of the year, for sure.
And from a pitching standpoint, what are some of the things you're seeing out of your staff right now?
I just think more competitive, attacking the strike zone. Our defense played tremendous all weekend. I should knock on some wood, but we didn't have an error all weekend. And obviously you're going to build some confidence on that pitching staff when you're able to pound the zone. You got guys that can defend behind you. So I think that was just a huge step in the right direction. And by far the best overall weekend for us so far. We're just looking to chip away.
And Brady Miles, you brought with us here today, a catcher for the program. What are some of the things that you like about what you're seeing out of Brady?
Well, the leadership and the experience of, you know, being here, done that. Obviously, he's going to step up in those roles when we need him, and he has. And we, like we've talked about before on this show, we had a ton of seniors, and he did a tremendous job for us this weekend. I mean, he had a huge play in that first game on a heads-up play, backing up and going to first and back-picking a guy. Just a heads-up play, savvy player. Great to have on our squad, and honing in that pitching staff behind the play is doing a tremendous job.
And Brady, I understand you come from Williston State College in North Dakota, and left that program from what, everything I've been able to see, the all-time hits leader in that program there. So you bring a lot to the table there, is behind the plate.
Yeah, I have. It's nice to be here. It was a good time there, but I'm having the time of my life here, and I'm just enjoying my last year of baseball.
What really stood out for you to want to come to Northwest Missouri State?
The atmosphere, the culture. It's a good place to be. It's a great conference. It's good baseball. The people here are great, in and out of baseball. Everybody is it's a good time, yeah.
What's the biggest thing when you come in to try to learn the pitching staff to do what you can do to help you, each pitcher be successful, to just come in and get to know them? What are the steps that you try to take there?
Just kind of seeing what they do when they're doing well versus when they're doing bad. Cues that get them back to where they need to be. And just trying to eliminate those mistakes back-to-back and get them back on the right track as soon as possible. And like he said, they're giving us a great chance to win ball games so far this year. And it's fun. They're competing.
Coach, I would imagine, too, when you look at that catcher position, it's almost like having another coach out on the field with what he's doing with the pitchers in particular. But really, everything involved, he's involved on the defensive side there.
Yeah, absolutely. He's fortunate enough to have the earpiece in his ear, and he gets to hear me every pitch, so I'm sure I annoy the heck out of him. But there's really good dialogue there, as it should be. We got to get on the same page with what the zone looks like and setups and what we got to get out of that arm on the mound. So, like I said, having a senior and experienced guy really helps us out tremendously.
Kind of talk about that technology a little bit, too. That's something that's relatively recent, I think. Obviously, technology is involved with everything, but how does that help out, Coach?
For sure. It's just a one-way communication piece. They can only hear me. They can't talk back, which I like. Yeah, just to help him out on setups and maybe where to give a good target, or if he's missing in certain areas, maybe we can help the pitcher out by just showing a little bit of a different glove into a different area there. But and not to mention, even on mound visits, it's really, really nice to be able to get in his ear a little bit on how to calm the pitcher down, to saying the right things in that moment without having to use a coach's visit. So we utilize it, and these guys are great with giving their feedback in between innings and that constant dialogue throughout a series.
Obviously, with baseball in particular, you have to be a little bit flexible as far as the schedule goes. Originally scheduled to be in action today over at Western Illinois. Unfortunately, that got postponed or canceled, but you look ahead, you got Washburn coming up next.
Yeah, we got Washburn. They're coming off a really nice weekend. They played Missouri Southern. They took all three from them. They're in a five-game winning streak here, so they're playing really good baseball, and we're welcoming that right here to the Cat this weekend. Obviously running into some weather issues here in the back end of the week, but starting to look like a Saturday, Sunday, Monday series with some great weather, actually. So we're looking forward to that.
Yeah, it's hard to believe right now that with the chance of a blizzard here in the next 24 hours or so, that by the weekend, back to not only spring weather, but great spring weather.
Yeah, it looks absolutely.
Like. And as far as the keys to the matchup with Washburn, where do you see how these two teams match up?
I just want to see us continue to take steps forward in the things that we do, our style of baseball. I just want it to come out and play. It shouldn't really impact who's across the field from us and what we're trying to do. We just want to stay consistent with that and keep kind of pecking away at the things that we're trying to do. And we're trending in the right direction, like I said. I just want to see us keep putting together complete games and series together. And we just hope to be on the right side of the end of things there.
And, Brady, when you take a look at what this team's accomplished so far this season, what's been the biggest thing that you've seen, the steps forward that you guys have made?
Talking to Coach, what I like about this team so far is, you know, we're giving ourselves a chance to win every game without playing our best baseball yet. And I think we're really going to hit that stride here in the next couple of weeks, and it's going to be a perfect time to do so. In the middle of the season, going into the back end of the season, start playing your best baseball. But winning games and giving yourself a chance to win every game without playing your best, but taking the steps forward as we do so, it looks really good, and I'm excited to see what happens the next couple weeks here.
All right, so sounds great. Appreciate both of you being here on the show.
Absolutely appreciate it.
Thank you.
You bet. Again, talking baseball with head coach Tony Jander and along with the catcher on the team, Brady Miles. A reminder that you're listening to KXCV Maryville and KRNW Chillicothe. This will wrap up our coach's show here for today. We'll be back again next Tuesday. Don't forget, we've got women's basketball on Wednesday night, tomorrow night, as they open up play in the MIAA postseason tournament. As they open up with Missouri Southern, 6 o'clock is tip-off time. We'll be on there at 5:30 with our pregame. For everyone on our show, and Matt Trenton, I'm John Coffey, and so long from Pizza Ranch.